Our word from the Lord today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. When you have it, please say amen. This is the word of the Lord. No one has said amen, but it's on the screen, so I'm going to go forth. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or the date the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God. If I was to tag our time this morning together with a title, it would be "Pay It Forward." Here we are 1 week after Resurrection Sunday. That time we remember what Christ did on the cross, remembering that although he had the power and the means to come down from the cross, he stayed up there that we might live and have life abundantly and live eternally with him. As we are now in the season of Pentecost, that season that marks that time after Jesus rose from the dead, walked and talked with his disciples for 40 days, ascended to the Father in heaven, and the filling of the power given by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is still in the business of filling. These passages of scripture we have heard in our reading was written by Luke, a Greek doctor who wrote the story of Jesus to his friends, Theophilus. Luke, who wrote the gospel, also wrote the gospel of Luke, which is the longest of all the gospels in the Bible. He wrote it with great detail. Being Greek himself, he wrote, knowing that he was writing to other Greeks, he wrote it long with lots of details and gave all the information, left nothing out, because he knew the Greeks were intellects. They were learned men, and they would not appreciate a short version of what happened. They wanted to know all the details. The book of Acts of the Apostles tells us what happens to Jesus after he was crucified and as he ascended to the Father. It also tells us how the early church was formed, and it tells the story up until the day that Jesus was taken to heaven, that he was teaching and instructing his disciples, knowing that many would doubt the disciples when they told his story, that Jesus, that God had raised him from the dead, that he spent time with them, showed him his hands, showed them his sides that were his side that was pierced by the Roman soldier's sword, knowing the disciples needed to know without a doubt that he was raised from the dead, Jesus sat with them. He ate with them. He walked with them. He continued to instruct them for 40 days after he rose from the dead. Knowing that no dead man or no ghost could do these things, Jesus stayed behind to help them in their unbelief, help them to come to a total conviction that he, in fact, was alive. We sometimes can tell stories that someone tells us about, and we tell it, but it's not the same as knowing the story for yourself. When we tell it from our perspective, because we've seen it and we've heard it, we can tell it with conviction. And no matter what anyone says to us to try to dispute what we've seen or heard, we can stand our ground. And so that's what Jesus was doing. He wanted them to know for sure, I am alive, that what I said is true, that the Son of Man would come, that he would be crucified, that he would die, that he would raise again in 3 days. And he wanted them to know with true conviction, because they were the ones that was going to start the new church, the early church, the first church. Jesus wanted them to know that they know that they know that he was truly alive. Knowing that the days ahead would be filled with doubters, non-believers, persecutors, that they had to know that Jesus died at Calvary, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he rose from the dead. According to Luke, on the first day of the week, two of the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who was among those who stood at the cross and watched Jesus as he died, they also followed his body as they took it to the tomb. And so they came back early the next day to anoint his body with spices and herbs and ointment, which was customary in the Jewish faith. When they arrived, they found that the stone had been rolled away. And as they saw the stone rolled away, they rushed inside. But when they got inside, there was no body. And so as they went inside and they saw no body, they began to cry out loud and weep and say, and ask the question, what have they done with my Lord? Meaning, what had the Roman soldiers or the Jewish high priests and their soldiers done with Jesus' body? Two angels, no doubt, who was on assignment, stood nearby and they asked them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember, he told you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Now, in the John account, not only did Mary Magdalene see the two angels, but she also saw Jesus, who told her, go tell your brethren, I am alive. That very same evening, Jesus appeared to the disciples while they were behind closed doors in fear of those who might also crucify them. For the next 40 days, Jesus kept coming back and forth, talking to them, instructing them. In fact, some of the disciples weren't even present when he showed up the first time. In turn, they told them that Jesus was alive and that he had been there. Thomas, being among the ones who was not there, said, I won't believe it until I see the prints of the nails in his hands and until I can thrust my finger into his side. At that very moment, Jesus appeared unto Thomas, and he said to Thomas, you put your finger in my side. See where they pierced me. And he showed him their hands. Now Jesus seeing, he said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus responded, because you have seen me, you believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet they believed. Now here we are in these scripture verses. Jesus is talking to the disciples about the kingdom of God and how he must go to the Father. The disciples wanting him to go fearing that what happened to him may happen to them and to other followers. And they began to ask Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus answered, saying, it is not for you to know the time or the season which my Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When Jesus was finished speaking, he allowed them to see him go up into the sky. The word doesn't say that it was the same angels that spoke to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. But there were two angels also speaking to the disciples. And they said to the men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up in the sky? The same Jesus who was taken from you into the heavens will come back in the same way you have seen him go into the heavens. In that scripture, verse 4a through 5, Jesus gave some specific instructions to the disciples. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. First, if we are going to pay it forward, we need to learn how to wait. So often we allow ourselves to move before it's time to move. We get anxious about trying to do things in our own strength and not wait on God for the power and the strength that can only come from him. So often we allow other people to convince us to step out before it's time to step out. When we speak of witnessing for Jesus, we are not always talking about running up into people's face, pushing the word of God down their throat. But most effectively, our witness comes in the form of telling others about the goodness of God and what he's done for us. Nobody can tell your story like you can tell it. Nobody knows your story like you know it. Nobody but you know what it felt like when Jesus brought you out. We have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to truly be witnesses for Christ. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us boldness to tell someone else about Jesus. When the Lord has allowed your body to be healed, when the Lord has delivered you from bondage and strongholds of the enemy, when the Lord has made a way for you out of no way, there is no devil in hell that can keep you from telling it. When the Lord has given you peace in the midst of a storm, you can't help but tell it. You see people every day, and the Lord has blessed them and made a way for them, kept them safe from hurt, harm, and danger, danger seen and unseen. But if you talk to them, they'll tell you it was their doing. The Lord had nothing to do with it. How do you know? You know because they never mention the Lord. When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can also receive the new lease on life while we're living here and now, and the blessed assurance that when life is over, that there's an even better life awaiting us. You might ask, why do I have to tell someone about Jesus? Because he asked us to. His word says that he asks us to be witnesses for him. We come to church every Sunday and we hear the word. We sing, we praise, we pray. But do we do what God has called us to do? Are we standing up and witnessing for Christ? Is it all about us? Is that what it's about? Is it just that we come to church because we have a need? It's more than about you. It's about the living word of God. It's about those that don't know God. It's about sharing what God has done for you. It's about giving someone else that new lease on life, that blessed assurance that Jesus truly lived. He died, but he rose again. And because he died, because he rose again, we have the right to eternal life. We are witnesses for the King. Let us not forget that part. Yes, he wants us to fellowship. Yes, he wants us to come into the church. Yes, he wants us to pray. He wants us to worship him and praise him. But he also wants us to, he wants us to witness to everyone wherever we go. He wants us to tell somebody. Tell it on your job. Tell it in the supermarket, wherever you go. You don't stand there and wave the Bible at people, but you show people who Christ is through your living. Through your neighbors. Speak to your neighbors. Don't look at them and turn your head and pretend you didn't see them. Show Christ. Show his love. I remember some time ago I watched this movie called Pay It Forward. It was about a young boy named Trevor McKinney, played by Haley Osment, and his recovering from alcoholism mother, Arlene, played by Helen Hunt. And he had a social studies teacher named Eugene Simonette, played by Kevin Spacey. Although Trevor's life was no picnic, in fact, he was poor. They were very poor. His mother worked two jobs. And he had his teacher, Mr. Seminette, gave his class a special assignment. And the assignment was to look at the world and see what you don't see, what you don't like about it, and then tell me how you want to fix this situation. Trevor came up with this idea called pay it forward. Paying it forward meant helping someone without expecting something in return. That's what it means to be a Christian. To do something for someone else without expecting something in return. Trevor thought that if everyone did something helpful and unexpected for someone else, the world would be a better place. So he started it off by giving a homeless man a place to stay out of the cold in their garage. Not only that, the little bit of food that they have, he shared it with him too. When the homeless man asked him, "Why are you helping me?" he simply said, "Because it's the right thing to do. Just pay it forward." So the homeless man started by fixing Trevor's mother's car. And then after he fixed the car, he did a few other things that he noticed that needed to be done. As the story continued, the blessing was paid forward. Each person who received it paid it forward, not thinking about whether they were going to get something back in return, but knowing that God had blessed them, and so they wanted to be a blessing. I want you to know today that God is calling us to pay it forward. As Christians, we are asked by God to do this. When God opens the door for us, we show him just how much we love him by paying it forward. Tell someone else about the goodness of Jesus. Tell someone else about how God has been good to you. Tell somebody about how God opened some doors for you. Tell somebody that when you were down to your last dime, God brought somebody and put a dollar in your hand. Tell somebody that I was sick and the Lord healed my body. Tell somebody I was broken down, didn't even know how I was going to get up, but the Lord sent a word of encouragement. Tell somebody that when I was worried about my child, I didn't know what was going to happen to him, but the Lord brought him out. Tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. When we receive Jesus as our Lord, he's the Lord of our life. And God promised us that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us. We are called to pay it forward so that others might learn of Christ and receive Jesus as their Lord too. God is so good to us that we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. Sometimes in our selfishness, we keep good news to ourselves about different opportunities. We don't want to tell people because we think they might get more than we got. We don't want to share the knowledge and the information because we are afraid that they might get ahead of us. We got to stop this foolishness. In this day and in this time, we got to help each other. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. If you know about a job, tell somebody about the job. If you know about an apartment, tell somebody about the apartment. If you know about a situation that can help somebody, stop keeping it to yourself. Jesus didn't withhold from you, so we shouldn't withhold from each other. We don't want to tell people because we're too selfish. I know you don't want to hear that this morning, but it's the truth. We talk about other groups of people and how they help one another. And we at large as an African American community are our worst enemies. You better get a grip today because the world is changing. Deacon Robinson talked about our school board election, but we got a presidential election that's coming. And if we don't get our act together, we're going to be left behind. God is saying, pay it forward. Be your brother and your sister's keepers. Reach out and help one another. This is how we made it over. We didn't make it over by ourselves. No man is an island unto himself. We got to help one another. Every time you hear about something good, you tell somebody. It doesn't matter what color they are or where they came from. Just tell them. Look, I heard about this. Oh, I heard about that. I know that there's a scholarship. Your child needs a scholarship to go to college. I heard about a scholarship. Tell somebody. Jesus is asking you to pay it forward.
He's been too good to you for you to sit down on his blessing. Help somebody today. Do something for somebody today besides yourself. Secondly, if we are going to pay it forward, we have to stop worrying about when the person is going to respond to our witness or whether they're going to thank you for what you did. When we get saved, sanctified, and fire baptized, we sometimes get so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. Everybody is a low down sinner but us. We've been out there, in there, all over there, doing whatever we want to do, whenever we wanted to do it. But the minute we really come to Christ, everybody else is a sinner but you. But we are all sinners saved by grace. That's what happened when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were so blind by their own holiness that when true holiness stood right before them, they didn't even recognize it. When Jesus stood before them, they crucified him. They screamed, "Crucify him." The misconception in the church is that people think that because they're in church, that they are automatically holy. They are automatically sanctified and set apart. But holiness and sanctification is an inward work that can only be done by God the Holy Spirit. Just like baptism cannot save us, being a church member cannot save you. Surrendering to God and releasing the will of God to do his work in us is what changes us and makes us different. Yes, it's wonderful to come to church, and I'm not asking you not to come. I'm begging you to come to church because the word says that we should fellowship among each other. In fact, I get upset with my own child when he doesn't come to church because God asks us. That is one of his requests of us, that we would come and fellowship and be in fellowship, that we might find strength to go on out and be a witness and pay it forward. But what I'm trying to tell you, saints, is that just sitting in those pews don't make you holy. It don't make you sanctified or fire baptized. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within you that gives you a glad heart. That even like the woman who came and gave her last two pennies, spence as they call them. That's the kind of mindset you have when God is doing a work on you. You don't worry about how am I going to get my next dime. You're more concerned about helping somebody else. We are to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are called to love and not to worry and be in judgment of other people. We are to pay it forward and let God do the rest. Stop judging people and trying to be a Holy Ghost junior. God knows when and how he's going to touch the hearts of his people. He asked us to be his witnesses. He didn't ask us to change anybody. Pay it forward. Pay it forward by treating people with respect and patience. Pay it forward by showing people about God and how he loves you and how he has saved you and how you live because of him. Pay it forward by not thinking so highly of yourself that you forget that one day, someday, somebody paid it forward for you. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was your father. Maybe it was a friend or a neighbor. Maybe it was a teacher or a preacher. Or maybe it was even a stranger. Somebody paid it forward for you. And God is calling us to pay it forward. Lastly, before I take my seat, if we're going to pay it forward, let us not get weary in well-doing. The word says that the world we live in is in chaos. The word of God tells us that it would be, that there would be times when mothers would be against daughters and fathers against sons, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. But for us not to worry, for God has overcome the world. The enemy, the adversary, Satan and his nymphs, they're all around continuing, trying to poke at us, trying to destroy us, trying to use us against one another. He likes it when we walk past each other and don't speak. He likes it when we gossip and talk about each other and put each other down. He loves it when we do things that are not with a kind heart. He loves it because he's winning. But we ought to do the work of the Lord, and that is to pay it forward. Yes, life will be difficult at times. Yes, we will suffer with sicknesses. Yes, we will have some problems, and we'll have some inconveniences. We will have some financial issues from time to time. And yes, people will talk about you, tell lies on you, walk out on you too. But you are to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be kind, be loving, be patient, be tolerant, knowing that your work is not in vain. Pay it forward. Jesus ascended to the Father in heaven, leaving his disciples and us too, with a promise that we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that would enable us to do what he has planned for our lives, to fulfill every promise that he gave us, to be his witnesses wherever we go. We ought to pay it forward. There is a power from on high that the enemy cannot undo. You see, he can't take it away. He can't stop you from receiving it. It is the promise of God. The answer and call is to pay it forward. But as you try to pay it forward, remember that you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do it on your own. Wait for God to come and give you that power that you need. You see, there's some power to teach, and there's some power to preach. There's some power to prophesy. There's some power for discernment. There's some power to pray. There's some power to love. There's some power to care. There's some power to do what only God can lead you to do. You see, that power comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just not somebody. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus promised us that when he left us, that he would send the Comforter. And when the Comforter comes, not only would he comfort you, but he'd give you a word to comfort somebody else. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit can do a work like nobody else can. You can be down to nothing. You cannot have no money in your pocket, but the Holy Spirit can come and give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And you can say, whether I'm abased or abound, I know the Lord Jesus and I'm in peace. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care how old I am. If God says I'm going back to school, I can go back and do it with excellence. I don't care what it looks like. I want to open a business. God gonna open the door and let me open that business. God gonna use me to his glory. Because you see, the Holy Spirit, you're not working in yourself. You're working in the power of the Holy Spirit. Forget about yourself and think about the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you today. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to pay it forward, God. I don't want to go to my grave knowing that I had not done what you called me to do. God, fill me today, oh God. Make me a vessel, oh God, that's being used by you. Oh God, I thank you today. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that even when I broke down, even when my back hurt, even when my legs hurt, oh God, Lord, even when my head hurt, oh God, Lord, I spent all night last night with chest pains, not knowing where they were coming from. But I said, God, I'm not going to a hospital. I'm going into Mount Olive this morning, and I'm going to preach this word. Pay it forward. Pay it forward. Somebody needs you today. We are not here by ourselves. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. You're not here just for yourself. Somebody has been praying for a breakthrough. Somebody has been praying for a blessing. And it resides in you. It might be through a word of encouragement. Honey, you can do it. I know it looked like you can't do it, but you can do it. Let us pray together. God wants us to pray. You see, the disciples, when they were waiting on God, they didn't just go sit down somewhere. What the word says, that they begin to pray. Even though God had promised, Jesus had promised them that the Father was going to fill them with the Holy Spirit so that they could do the work that he was calling them to do. They didn't sit there and look around at the sky all day. They got busy praying. There was 120 of them in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. They didn't just sit there with their hands folded saying, I'm not going to do nothing until God. They prayed. They prayed. And when they wasn't praying, they were studying. Peter brought back the word of God. They were trying to understand, why did Judas Iscariot, why did he betray our Lord? And the word told them that it would have to happen. This was the plan of God. So they had a better understanding. You got to study the word of God so you can have a better understanding of the plan of God for our lives. And then they were about work. You got to work while you can. The day will come when you can't work. And God is going to hold us accountable. That when you had life and you had strength, you didn't do what I told you to do. When you stand before that throne and give an account for your life, I hope you'll be able to hear, good, my good and faithful servant, job well done. I hope you don't stand there and say, what were you doing when I told you to do this? When you had your strength, when you were young, when you had energy, why didn't you do it? God is going to hold us accountable. You got to pay it forward, people. You got to do what you can do while you can do it. Because the day is going to come when you can't do it. And then you're going to wish you could have done it. I think, and this may not have any relevance to the word that went forth, but I remember hearing my mama say that as she looked around and she saw different people doing different things at a very old age. And she said, sometimes people end up doing things in their older age because they didn't do it when they were young. And when God has planted a seed in your life, you can't get away from it. He gonna drag it out you if he have to drag it out on your bed of sickness. He gonna have you pray for somebody right from your bed of affliction. So I'm asking you today, pay it forward. Do what God has given you to do while you can. Don't let the sun set on your gifts. Don't let the sun set on what God has given you to use to help other people. Don't close your eyes or turn your back on people when they need you. Our children need you this Tuesday to vote for the election. Our country needs us to all go to the polls and vote, because you see, somebody's going to get left behind. And I'm going to tell you something, it's just my opinion, but there's going to be more us left behind than anybody else. So I'm asking you to pay it forward. Do what you can do while you can. And don't think about what I'm going to get in return. Know that the Lord is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you might ask or even think. He'll open some doors you didn't even think about. He'll bring some people in your life that you don't even know. He'll take you to some places you never even dreamed of. That's the kind of God we serve. Take him outside of that box and let him go free in your life. Unleash the power of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you today. Let him take you to some places to do some things for God that you never even imagined. God loves us. He sent his only begotten son to die at Calvary's cross, that we might have the right to the tree of life, that we might not die but live and live eternally with him.